WDHL.
Powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling.
With Brent Doherty, Don Davenport, and Ron Slay.
Tell 104.5, there's a lot going on, a lot of NFL news, a lot of Titans topics, a lot of NCAA tournament basketball. Lady Vols looked like the old Lady Vols the first two rounds of this tournament. Now, the opponent is what it is, but they played opponents like that before in the years since Pat and not look great.
Yep.
But this team has like a different look to it. Now they get the test against Virginia Tech coming up, the number one seed.
That's right.
Coming up, so we'll see. Lady Vols, the 4 seed, number 1 seed, Virginia Tech, Saturday, 5:30, ESPN2. Tennessee's won 8 in a row against teams not named South Carolina. They've lost twice to South Carolina.
So,
I mean, everybody loses.
That's what I was going to say.
Virginia Tech has won 13 games in a row. So, Horston and Jackson, you've been talking about that combo for a while. So, against St. Louis in the opener, 39 points combined, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. In the game against Toledo, where they didn't have to play as many minutes, 22 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists.
Yeah, they're serious when they're locked in, man. Both of them, like, undescribable talent. When you look at the two young ladies play the game the way they are, man. Athletic.
They just have a look,
skill,
though, about them.
Yeah, like, it's
like this competitive thing on their face. Yeah, like, of my way.
I love it. I love watching.
So, yeah, they've been fun to watch. Sweet 16 coming up. We'll go over these with Alan Bell here in a minute. The favorites to go to the Final Four now, Houston, UConn, who I have in the Final Four, Alabama, and Tennessee. Tennessee is the favorite to get out of the East now.
Yeah, it's because of their road now, seed.
I mean, Michigan State ain't no joke. And
Kansas State ain't no
joke.
That
point guard for Kansas State, whew. Tennessee, the betting favorite to come out of the East to go to the Final Four. They are listed at plus 125 to win the East Regional at Madison Square Garden in New York. The 7 seed Michigan State is the second favorite at plus 280. 3 seed Kansas State is third at plus 375, followed by 9 seed Florida Atlantic at plus 450. I wonder how Tennessee fans feel about that. Does that give Tennessee fan like, yeah, let's go? Or does it make them nervous?
Nah, it probably does for the battered ball syndrome fans.
BBS.
But come on, man. That ain't got nothing, like you just said about James Franklin. That ain't got nothing to do with this team right here. This team right here is a senior led team, man. Like, this is what we were talking about at the beginning of the year before the year started. Can this group get to the tournament and be healthy? They're as healthy as can be right now.
Well, we see
like the chances.
What's funny about this group is, I've called them like schizophrenic, but like, you've seen them play so well against the better teams, and they have significant wins when you start talking about Alabama and Texas and Kansas and Duke. But then they lose games like that make people nervous about this game coming up.
Yep.
Like I wonder if Tennessee fan would almost rather than play Purdue. Just to have their complete attention.
But see, guess what, though? That's my thing. When you look at FAU.
Like, or don't.
Yeah, that's right.
They gone.
And like, when you look at FAU, they play 9 players as well. And 7 of those 9 players let it fly from 3. I mean, when I say let it fly, 6 of those 7 have over 100 threes taken in the season. And the other one that's left out, he has 93. So they got their style. They're veteran guys. And they don't won, what, how many games? What,
33.
Like
33-3. And that's
they got your attention.
That's what Ray Barnes said. He's like, I don't know why you don't think they're the favorite.
Yeah.
They've won 33 games and beat Florida, you know.
Yeah, y'all was saying 2 months ago about how hot Dusty May was. Who's the hottest coach? Y'all both said Dusty May.
Like, now, from a gambling perspective, the thing that makes this tough is like Todd Furman and those guys talk about these things in this kind of way. Florida Atlantic is stepping up in class. Like, they played Purdue. No, FDU played Purdue. Mm-hmm. They're stepping up in class. They haven't played like a tier one team in like 2.5 months.
Right.
So it's hard to get a read on them.
Mm-hmm.
But you go at it more from a matchup standpoint and having watched them play.
Yeah.
And so you understand kind of the way the game is going to attempt to go.
They got veteran guys.
Take it down. Sorry, break it down.
I was like, took what down the Nets?
By the way, if you missed Babs in the last segment, she got locked outside.
I got locked out.
That ain't funny.
Out of the building.
Yeah. I was not in the building.
See how crazy it is when the door locked
I'm out the building.
Especially when, you know how Babs doesn't like the cold.
I know.
I went to my car to get something out of my car. And then I try to come back in. I forgot my key tag to get in the building. There is no breaking in this building, by the way. And there's nobody here.
Well, that's good.
Nobody's here. And then I couldn't even get out of the parking lot to go to the front door because you can't get out of the gate once you're in the parking lot unless you're in a car.
So you'd have had to get in your car, go park on the side, bang on the front
door.
Oh, you can ring a doorbell there.
Yep. Yeah, but there's nobody here.
I think Chloe would open the door. I don't know.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Anyway.
But yeah, so Babs was banging on the door. She missed the whole segment.
But I did hear that you said Wyatt did not put a wet blanket over Lamar Jackson, which Jim Wyatt knows what's going on.
And I was trying to figure out a way to ask the question because he does work for TennesseeTitans.com. But and so do you have the question in there or just his answer?
Just his answer.
Okay, so the question was that I came up with a lot of chatter about Lamar Jackson last couple of days on the national shows. And then today he's the betting favorite to come to Tennessee if he doesn't go back to Baltimore. Is this even financially feasible?
Yeah, it is. But I do think you can be creative with the cap and make things work. It's just a matter of whether or not you deem he's a fit. I mean, I did find that interesting, and I know there's certainly been a lot of chatter about him here, but there's been a lot of chatter. Let's face it, there's been a lot of chatter about a lot of things here, from Tannehill to Henry to Byard to Simmons to, a lot of different free agents. So you just got to sort through all of it. You know, we'll see what happens, what doesn't. It's that time of year. It's also interesting because it seems like he's one of those type of players that, some fans seem to be, foaming at the mouth, hoping the team will sign him. While you got others that say, I don't want to touch this guy. So,
so true.
I'm curious to see what your calls are like too. Just on
people don't want him.
That's interesting because he is a dynamic player. But you're projecting now. You bring a guy. His next contract is going to be. You're going to have to commit to him, whoever it is, for years to come.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that? I think I let in. It's going to be an expensive thing, and he said, "Yes, it is." But yeah, that's what it was.
He's right.
Well, and
no wet blanket on it.
No, and that surprises me because my take was that. It's going to be tough and maybe feasible financially, but definitely there's a lot that you would have to do there. But that's what he said.
But
creative.
In getting creative, you also got to take out of it. This is everybody being mentioned, like Kevin Byard. Like is
right.
It's not a stretch to hear of a guy that's up like Lamar Jackson. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm sure if somebody like Pat Mahomes was up, we would hear him too. You know what I'm saying? Like, who thought we would be talking about Jeff Simmons not being signed back, or Kevin Byard being on the chopping block a week before Derrick Henry? You know what I'm saying? Like, a season of lies? Is that what they say?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like it's wild. It's the wild, wild west right now. You gotta be out when you walk outside, have your head on a swivel.
I think right. With these particular issues though,
get locked up.
I think it's a matter of things being thrown out there and then people get wind of it. I think this stuff is real.
Right. Yeah.
Not that it'll happen, but that I just think it is what we said initially. Like everything is on the table with a new GM.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Speaking of Kevin Byard, he's giving back to MTSU again, this from MTSU Athletics. Due to his significant gift and accomplishments on the field, the strength and conditioning center that they're building over there, it's going to be phenomenal, is the new student athlete performance center will be named for Kevin Byard.
Aw.
How about that?
Pretty cool.
All right, Alan Bell, when we come back,
I don't want him to go anywhere.
Me neither.
I was going to remind people about what exactly the non-exclusive franchise tag is and how it works. So we'll do that next break on Lamar Jackson, because I think people forget how it works.
Well, we'll do it later because Alan Bell is coming in. Sweet 16.
Is he coming in?
Yeah. Sweet 16. He's probably banging on the door outside. Nobody can hear him because there's nobody here.
Trust me, nobody can hear you.
Sweet 16. Like you're in the forest. You're a tree that fell. Sweet 16. Deep dive coming up next with Alan Bell. We'll look at all the point spreads. We got some good games coming up Thursday and Friday next on 104.5 The Zone.
Let's see. Something different for dinner. Searching restaurants near me.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Gee, same old, same old.
Wait, we're right here, ma'am. Our restaurant's just a few blocks from you. Why is she not seeing us?
Back to the usual, I guess.
Ma'am, can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local restaurants. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Three to 104.5 is old. Brent Doherty, Don Davenport, Ron Slay. We welcome Alan Bell from Sportsline into the mix, into the studio. He was able to get in. I let him in.
I appreciate that. Yeah, you know what? You were excellent with the door, Brett.
Well, Don got locked out.
Except for me. I missed the whole segment because I got locked out.
It happens. Like, yeah. You guys got a nice fortress here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Solid. Safety is important.
It's probably good. We got to protect some people who go off on the radio.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to protect Slay. I mean,
that's right.
Right.
Yeah. We may be well protected in the building, too. I don't know.
Hey, we in the building.
Neither confirm nor deny. What's going on with you, man? How are you?
Man, I'm fantastic. I feel like, okay, so I made this point on Monday. All right, on our show, The Early Edge, that it likely was the lowest productivity day in offices across America, because I feel like it was like basketball hangover. Like, I felt it.
It was so good. Like, I hate to give recency bias, because we all do it, but I can't think of a better collection of first and second round games.
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, like, we have ones going down, right?
And two ones went down.
Yeah, and then...
Two twos went down.
Exactly. We have those going down, and then the teams... Like, the conversation as soon as a 16 or a 15 won, like, on our text was like, all right, what do you do with them the next round? Like, in the 32, like, we riding or fading them, right?
Yeah.
Dude, they came out blasted. Like, look at Princeton. You know what I mean? Like, Missouri found out quick. And that's a team.
I would have never guessed that.
I know.
I would have never guessed that.
So, to your point, like, it was phenomenal.
Missouri got their heads lobbed off their shoulders, and then they spent the rest of the game trying to find it. Yeah. Where'd it go?
Ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, it just wasn't. Like, they got dominated on the boards by an Ivy League team.
Dominated. Like, I mean, Princeton came out and said, I'm sorry, what? Like, you play in what conference? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we'll jump in the SEC right now.
Like, I can't point at one person from Princeton that I can say he'll beat any one of us off the dribble.
Yeah.
But, man, they run their offense pacing, and they shoot DP out of the ball.
They really do.
Man, it was serious.
Yep. Yeah. And good, you know what? Good for Princeton. Mm-hmm. You know, it's finally time that something good happens to those guys up there.
You know, it's funny though. Like, so you root for the upsets, like I always do. Like, if I don't have a dog in the hunt, like, or if I haven't wagered on the game, I root for the upset. So I love the 16 over the one. I love the FDU FAU matchup. I get the first round with them winning. But then you get that matchup, and then you're like, okay. But that turned out to be a good game, too. But that's always kind of a conundrum, right? Like, you want the upset, but then the next round you end up with a game that might not be as attractive.
Yep. Yeah, that's the worry. But this year, at least, it didn't come out. And let me also say this. You know, for the NCAA tournament, like, forever, like, all of us watching it, you know, coming up, it was always buzzer beaters everywhere. We haven't had one in 2 years. The new buzzer beater, really.
Furman was one, but
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's it.
Yeah, that's it. Like, the new buzzer beater is when you're, like, when you're betting on a game, and it's an underdog firing a three you know, like in the Gonzaga game, right?
Like, or like the Alabama game.
100%. Like, that's the new buzzer beater is, you know, if, you,
so bad.
If you've got 4.5, you better be up 9. You know what I mean? Because it's like, dude, like that's the new one because every underdog is just firing a 3 with 1 second left.
So one game I got from y'all was the Wisconsin Eastern Washington game.
Yep.
And it's 14 with 8 seconds left, and Wisconsin has the ball.
Yeah.
They turn it over. Eastern Washington goes down, shoots a 3 at the buzzer to go inside the 11.5 to win by 11. Yeah. I lost my bet.
It's brutal. I had Gonzaga, 4.5, right? With 0.7 seconds left of a shot that meant nothing.
Nothing.
And when it rolled, and as soon as dude picked That's it up, I said, dude, this is butter. Right?
Like, you know it.
It even hit the rim. I mean, just nothing but net, gone, bet done. Yeah. It was awful.
Texas A&M,
yeah.
Corpus Christus, got me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, dude, it was 23.5 was the spread.
Yeah.
Alabama goes down and get a tip dunk to make it 24. It's like 19 seconds. Everybody's cool with dribbling it out.
Yep.
Texas brings the ball across, dribbles it out. The guy on the wing, he had to be a senior, sprinted over there and stole the ball from him.
Or he bet on the game.
Yeah, one of the two.
That's what I thought.
Took two dribbles and did a step back 3 with guys on his bench saying, no, like, don't do that. Bottoms.
Yep.
They lose by 21.
Yeah.
Messed my whole parlay.
The whole thing.
Isn't it funny, though? Because, I was 2 for 3 on the weekend, but the one I keep talking about is the one I lost.
Hey, boy.
That's the funny. That's the John Gotti style. Everyone said, about him, they're like, this guy would bet, and he would only talk about, the heartbreaking ones. You know what I mean?
Hey, real quick, before we get into basketball, obviously there's a lot to talk about Lamar Jackson and some of the sports books. I don't know where you guys are with it, but I did see one of the sports books has the Titans as the favorite to land him if he doesn't go back to Baltimore. What do you think about it?
That's fascinating. First, I don't think that he gets out of Baltimore. They built the whole team around him.
Right.
But that being said, you know, I thought for a little while that Mike Vrabel was like your standard, prototypical quarterback, coach, right? Mm-hmm. That's his style. I actually think that he likes some mobility, right? And I think that, you know, the Malik Willis draft pick, I think that plays a little bit into it. I don't think that it happens, but it kind of makes sense a little bit. Again, I would not bet that it does.
Yeah.
I don't think that he leaves Baltimore, but weirdly, I think it kind of fit the offense a little bit, especially if you have deficiencies at wide receiver, offensive line, et cetera.
Yeah, you need to make
I just
up
don't think the one piece that doesn't fit for me with a Lamar Jackson playbook would be Derrick Henry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you would need.
But just because he's not versatile.
Yeah, they talk about 5-tool players in baseball. You would need a 3-tool player at running back.
I'll also say this, though. The Ravens have had a hell of a run game with Lamar Jackson. It's not like they don't run the ball. You know what I mean? But you have to have pieces. They've got a good offensive line. They use their tight ends well. Their receivers. It's almost like you remember playing in high school, and if you're a wide receiver, you blocked a lot because generally your offense was running the football. You got to have dudes that are willing to block. But I agree with you, Brent. It just seems like a weird fit.
All right, Sweet 16, Alan Bell, at Alan Bell 247 on Twitter. Sweet 16. So on Thursday, it's interesting. Tennessee is actually the biggest spread at 5.5. So you've got 4 games that are all under 6 points. So looking forward to that. Let's start in the East. Michigan State, Kansas State. We saw how dynamic of a point guard the Wildcats have. Playing a really physical Michigan State team. State, the 7 seed, favored over the 3 seed by 2.
Yeah, so Michigan State, isn't it weird that of the Big Ten teams that we thought, Michigan State just flew under the radar. But that's what I love about this time of year.
Izzo, man, 100%. He should never fly under the radar.
Exactly, right? And
is it, 20 straight?
Yeah, and these coaches, Don, you just mentioned, Tom Izzo, they show you how valuable they are as a basketball coach, right? Because these games come down to essentially 2 possessions, and Izzo's value is, I can win you 2 possessions. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you look at Michigan State, they're a better team than people think, all right? So they're only allowing, on average, of just the 2 NCAA tournament games, 61 points per, okay? So they're playing great defense, but on the other side, they're scoring more than people kind of, they're averaging 70.5 points per game offensively. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a rock fight style game, but I'm not going to doubt Izzo, man. And Kansas State, these Big 12 teams, like, they've ran through a gauntlet of a schedule.
They have.
Like,
yes, they
when's it gonna, you know, when's it gonna catch up to them? So I'll roll Michigan State for sure.
Interesting. That potential, we were talking earlier about Michigan State, potential Michigan State Tennessee matchup in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
Vince Lago's bloodbath.
Oh, God.
Dude, you want to talk about physical.
Oh, God. Yeah. Rock fight. Like, you don't even need to pay the refs. Like, just let them go.
Yeah.
Like, these dudes.
Figure it out.
They'll enforce their own style. Yeah, both teams will.
Yeah. Just check them up top. Yeah. Man, call foul. Go ahead. Go ahead and check it
out. Speaking of Tennessee, what have you guys discovered when you run the numbers? Again, tell people what you guys do at Sportsline we get into this.
100%. So Sportsline, what we do is we take any game, any sport, we'll simulate it 10,000 times with every piece of data available. We'll give you a projected score based off of those simulations, how many times percentage-wise that hit, all right? And then we grade the bets. So if Tennessee's a 5.5-point favorite and say, you know, out of 10,000 simulations, 8,000 of them had Tennessee winning by 8, right? Like, that's a solid bet. Like, we'll grade it A, B, or C. And we'll say, look, hey, this hit 80% of the time, you know, you got pretty good value here, right? And then we'll also, on the opposite side, like, if it's coming out absolutely, like, dead even, like, nah, this is like a C-grade bet. Like, you can bet it if you want. This is what we have, but we're not recommending it. Like, I'd look elsewhere. So, yeah, that's essentially what we do. And basketball, football, baseball, you name it.
Okay, so where are you guys with Tennessee and Florida Atlantic? Tennessee, a 5.5-point favorite, 8 o'clock on TBS, and right here on 104.5 The Zone on Thursday.
So Tennessee is the only team in the NCAA tournament that has held both of its opponents to 55 points or fewer. All right? Yep, they're the best defense in the NCAA tournament, and it's not even close. On average, they're allowing 53.5 points per game.
Wow.
All right? Yeah.
Like, pretty impressive. Do you remember what they average this season? They've been solid defensively. It was closer.
I think they finished number two.
Yeah, they ranked number two. It was closer to, like, I believe, like 60.
But
they
got up towards the end.
But they're now like 22-0 when allowing less than 60 points.
Yeah. Like, to give you some perspective, Gonzaga's allowing 75.5 points per game.
But they score 87.
Yeah, just tournament. Yeah.
Now, here's the problem. All right, so that's defense. Offense. Tennessee, offensively, is the worst team left in the NCAA tournament offensively, because they're only averaging 61.5 points per game. That being said, right, they are winning games. So, again, we've simulated it. We have Tennessee winning. We have Tennessee covering. You look at FAU kind of going off of that. FAU's allowing 67.5 points per game through the NCAA tournament, and they're scoring 72.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the weird thing is this. Duke found this out. Playing Tennessee, like what we just talked about offensively, you think, all right, just play good, you know, offense, outscore Tennessee, you're going to beat them. Mm-hmm. That's actually not the way to do it. You actually want to play defense, because when their offense doesn't think, that's when they score, right? Like, when you give them chaos, they'll give you chaos right back. Mm-hmm. It's when they take the entire shot clock, because what are you building for? You're not big enough down low, you're going to take some bad shot, and you're probably not hitting threes. So FAU likes to run, they like to score. That could be bad for them.
Another SEC team, real quick, Arkansas and UConn. What are your thoughts on
that's
that?
That's Thursday, 6:15.
Yeah. So, okay, anybody that pays attention to soccer, right? Like World Cup, like, you know, group of death.
Yep.
This is the group of death.
Yeah.
Like, you've got Arkansas, UConn, Gonzaga, and UCLA.
That's a crazy Final Four.
My goodness. Like all of these teams. UCLA, Arkansas, and UConn will beat the hell out of you defensively and score. Gonzaga will let you score a little bit, but they're going to put up 85. Like, you better be ready to go. look, you look at Arkansas here, they are averaging 72.5 points per game offensively. They're giving up 67. Mm. And I say that to say this. UConn is the most efficient team in the NCAA tournament right now. They are playing out of their minds efficiently on both sides, scoring a ton of points offensively, not giving you many up. It's hard to go against UConn. Yeah. It's just tough. I'll roll with UConn. And I like this Arkansas team, but it is difficult to go. They're like Duke, like coming in, like all the talk, but actually a lot better.
Yeah, I think veterans right there, too. Yeah.
I think I'm going to go money line, even though they're 3.5.
Yeah.
So there's not that much value in money line, but
also know this, like, the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament, right? Like, chaos, especially this year, but we get it every year. understand, these are the most chalk postseason event of anything in sports. One seeds have won 5 years in a row. Mm-hmm. Like, it's generally blue bloods. When you get to the Sweet 16, like, it flips from chaos to generally chalk. And if you're betting underdogs, like, bet them. They generally, if they cover, they win outright.
Yeah.
Like, the same thing with the NFL playoffs. Sense. Like,
if you're going to bet an underdog, maybe look at the money line.
Put a little bit on the money line. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's interesting. You mentioned blue buds. This is only the fourth time no blue buds in the Sweet 16.
Yeah. I love it. Like, that. Like, this is going to be an awesome weekend.
So, what do you think about that UCLA-Gonzaga game? UCLA by two.
Yeah. It's interesting because everyone thought that Gonzaga would be, you know, the favorite here. Yep. And UCLA is playing incredibly efficient basketball right now. Gonzaga, the problem for them is this, is that they mess around in games. Like, the first half, and then kind of like Houston-Auburn when Houston took over. Like, Gonzaga's done that twice now.
Yep.
And if, you know, anybody watched that Gonzaga TCU game, I mean, the foul discrepancy, like, I'm not making it, you know, any judgments on it, but the foul discrepancy was like plus 10 for Gonzaga. I'm going to go with UCLA. Like, they're playing better defense. The offense is, you know, they don't score as many, but they're not going to let you score as many as well. So, yeah, I'll roll UCLA there.
And Drew Timmy, man, he just for years has frustrated me. And people always joke on our chat about how old is Drew Timmy? He's 47 years old. I don't know. But doesn't he look like a 1982 basketball player?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He does. Like, you look at that guy and you're like, there's no way this guy can score. And next thing you know, he's got 27 and 13.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I said. And then he does his post-game interview. No, do you know what he looks like? He looks like a Will Ferrell character in some kind of movie. Uh-huh. That's what he looks like. He does. And then he's doing post-game interviews with his arm around, like, the reporter, whoever it is. Seriously. He feels like he's been there forever.
Uh-huh. It's like a Tom Izzo who's like, dude, I've done a million of these interviews. I'm not nervous.
This is a walk in the park.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Real quick, Jai L on YouTube. I can't get a legit breakdown of a game because it's slanted by betting odds. That's what this segment is.
Yeah.
So
I could give you straight up.
Tomorrow, Tom Green will be on the show.
Yeah,
I'll look at these games from a different perspective, but that's what this part is about. If y'all knew the numbers, like we know the numbers in terms of people wagering on sports now in this market.
Yeah, this makes plenty of sense.
All right, let's go to the South. Alabama, San Diego State.
AB's like, I can give you both.
Hold on now. AB's a sports talk guy. We know that. But
also, I feel
Tom Crean's coming on tomorrow, and we will break these down.
Yeah. He's probably a little bit better than me.
Also, the breakdown, I feel like, that you get because of the odds and the betting, it kind of tells you how the game's going to go. I work a college football game, I absolutely talk to AB and Todd Furman and hear what, you know, the books kind of think about it, because it gives you an idea of the breakdown of what probably is going to happen in the game.
I appreciate that. And I'll say this. I could give you a projected score based on the data percentages that we have. So Tennessee, we've got Tennessee 68.5. FAU 63.5, so right there. So again, you can look at it for betting. You can look at it just winning the game.
Straight up.
Go
ahead. Competition.
Alabama, San Diego State. San Diego State's one of those Tennessee, Michigan State, like, really physical teams. What do you think about this matchup?
Yeah, so we've got Alabama winning 72.5, 64.5.
That's just outside the number.
Yep, just outside the number. And here's
7.5.
Huh? Yeah, San Diego State is incredible defensively. All right, they are averaging... we said Tennessee 53.5 defensively of what points they're allowing to opponents. San Diego State's 54.5. Like, Tennessee and San Diego State defensively they're beyond everybody else.
I feel like they've been under the radar.
Very much.
They're like kind of.
On late at night and people don't see that? I mean, is that part of it?
100%. Every one of their games is 11:30 at night, right? They average near 70 points. The problem is this: Alabama really didn't have too difficult of a time in their previous two games. They're rested. They're feeling good. And the louder the noise gets, better they play.
Yeah.
Like, Brandon Miller's good to go.
Yep.
Good luck. I'll roll with Alabama. It's difficult, almost impossible not to.
The interesting thing about Alabama, and we've talked about it a lot, is they are playing legit D now.
Yeah. Yep.
And that makes them especially scary, because they had the largest margin of victory in the NCAA tournament game while shooting less than 40% from the floor and 30% from three.
They won by
23 points.
Yep, I'll give you a number. I'll give you a number on that. All right, in their two games, NCAA tournament. All right, Alabama is leading all 16 teams in average points scored per game, 84.5, more than Gonzaga. Defensively, they're only giving up 63. Like, this team is playing incredibly on both sides, and that's what you want. Goodness. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going Alabama all day long on,
yep.
on that number. And San Diego State's going to try to do what Tennessee did to Alabama, and Tennessee got Alabama, just beat them up.
Yep.
Like Tennessee did to Duke. So. Yep. We'll see. Can you stay another segment?
Oh, yeah.
All right. We'll do the Creighton, Princeton, Houston, Miami,
That's
Texas.
A big number Xavier, Creighton, Princeton.
Big
games coming up. We'll be right back. 3HL 104.5 The Zone.
Let's see. Something different for dinner. Searching restaurants near me.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Gee, same old, same old.
Wait, we're right here, ma'am. Our restaurant's just a few blocks from you. Why is she not seeing us?
Back to the usual, I guess.
Ma'am, can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local restaurants. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
No, I don't want your number now. I don't wanna give you mine, and now I don't wanna meet you nowhere now.
3HL 104.5 is over at Doherty, Don Davenport, Ron Slay, Alan Bell from Sportsline.com. How's your bracket looking, AB?
My bracket was busted in 5 hours.
The whole party over?
Yeah. So the funny thing is, on our show, The Early Edge, like we had two shows that day, like 9 a.m.
Where can people find you?
At Alan Bell 247 on YouTube, at Sportsline, CBSSports.com, CBS Sports HQ, and yeah, Twitter, Alan Bell 247.
Yeah.
And you could find my bracket in the trash. So we had a morning show at 9 a.m. and then we had an afternoon show at 4 p.m. I didn't even make it to the afternoon show. Completely gone, out of it, Arizona winning, done. So, anybody have theirs alive? Like,
I got 12 of 16, all 4-4.
Nah, okay.
Wow.
I have Alabama winning it all.
All right. Yeah. You're in a good spot, though.
Vomit.
Yeah. You're
a really good spot.
Yeah.
I forgot what I got going.
Wait, so you went on in the morning just talking complete trash?
Oh, complete. I was
about how you're going to win the bracket challenge.
Yeah, like we have a very interactive audience. Like everybody was, you know, in the pool. Everybody's included. Yeah, you know, and I was like, man, you guys don't even sign up. Like, I'm just going to run through all of you. And then, yeah, they let me have it in the afternoon. Rightfully so.
What do I have? It don't matter.
Cause yeah, 12 of 16, 7 of 8, all 4.
Here's the thing, though. Like, as long as your champion is still alive.
Champion's alive.
All right, as long as your champion is still alive. Look, if everyone's bracket is busted, no one's bracket is busted.
Yeah.
Just have your champion alive.
I'm betting 70% throughout the tournament.
Look at Slay.
I'm out here fighting, baby.
There you
I'm
go, fighting. Slay. All right, Creighton and Princeton. Creighton is a team that I fell in love with and actually have them playing Bama in the Elite Eight and losing there. But a 9.5-point favorite, biggest spread in the Sweet 16 over 15-seed Princeton.
Yeah. So first off, shout out to Princeton for real. Playing excellent basketball. Here's the thing, though. I'm going to roll Creighton here. They are incredibly efficient offensively, incredibly efficient defensively. And here's the thing. When you're a Princeton-type team and you pull the upset, okay, say you play on Thursday, all right, pull the upset, great. You play again on Saturday. Other team doesn't have time to cut film. You just get just a little bit, right? And you're amped up. Like, it's basically like you're playing a doubleheader almost, right? Problem, you advance to the second one, go to the Sweet 16, you got to fly home, you got a week, you think about it, you know what I mean? And the other team, Creighton, gets to watch all the film they want on you. Yeah, I'm going to roll with Creighton here. I think that they been a great run for Princeton. I think it's probably coming to an end.
What about Houston-Miami? Like, you got Coach Larinaga, who's been there, and then you got Kevin Sampson, who's been there, and they're back again with a guy like Sasser. If he's healthy enough, like, I ain't betting against him, but we don't know.
Yeah, so Houston, man, like, here's the deal with them. Houston's kind of like the 49ers, right? Like, injuries and all kinds of things that are going on. Miami, dude, look out for them, because, one, they have two guards that are born to score.
Yeah,
like
Wayne.
These dudes, they will score at any moment, at any time, from anywhere. Like, and there's no, I don't care who you are. There's nothing you can do about it. This team's going to score. They don't play a lot of defense, but this team's going to score.
Score.
Houston, plays a very slow style offense, right? They can get out and run with you, but they don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
They want to slow this thing down, and that's not Miami at all. But the problem is, Miami can out-rebound you, too.
Yeah.
Like, offensively, defensively, like, they've got guards, but they've got bigs, too.
Yep.
I'm going to roll with Miami here. I think that they're playing a lot better basketball than Houston is. I think Houston, great ending against Auburn.
Yep.
But for 15 minutes, Bruce Pearl was, smacking you around. And this Miami team, like, look what they did to Indiana. Like, good luck.
By the way, shout out to Miami for knocking Indiana out of the tournament in the men's and women's bracket.
So
there you go.
Both to go to Sweet 16.
The U coming back.
U.
Sorry, Travis Harder.
I know. He was very annoyed last night.
Sorry, Harder.
Sorry.
All right, Texas and Xavier. Texas favored by 4, the 2 seed and the 3 seed.
Yeah, so Texas, man, shout out to them. They lost their coach in the middle of the year.
Yeah.
Didn't miss a beat.
Not one.
Didn't miss a beat. This team is like an excellent auto mechanic that you have. Look, they're going to give you all the effort. You trust them. They're consistent. They bring it, all right? Problem is this, man. Xavier can go.
Yeah.
Xavier could score. They could put up. I mean, then again, Texas can too.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to go with Xavier. But, man, this could be the best game that we have. And we talked about the group of death there.
Yeah.
But it's hard to go against Texas. Like, this team's just been battle-tested, and they just keep coming. They just keep coming.
So, favorites to go to the Final Four, Tennessee, Alabama, UConn, and Houston is what we're looking at.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you have drawn that up before?
No.
Specifically Tennessee.
But, I mean, look at what all of these teams do. Like, they are not afraid to just play disgusting defense.
Yep.
Yeah, and just, put up, you don't have to put up 100.
Yep. What do they say? Defense travels?
Yeah. It always does.
It does. Dude, I mean, look, Tennessee's defense is like trying to take a jacket off in the car. Like, it's just a mess from the jump. Like, you
what
look
a
at
great
it.
Comparison,
right? Like, and you look at these teams, like, look
I
at
Duke. With your seatbelt on, too.
I cannot do it.
It's impossible. Like, look at Duke. When they came out, they started off, it was like 6-0 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Game gets tied up. And then Duke just went 7 minutes, like they couldn't score.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd never seen a Duke team that, I mean, they were getting the shot clock.
Actually.
Like, they were getting the shot clock run out. Like, they couldn't even get a shot.
That was
right?
crazy.
Yeah.
Yep.
What was the stat? They had 21 points in the first half, which is the fewest amount of first half points they've ever had in a tournament game.
Ever. And I'll say
that's
this.
That's crazy.
Tennessee,
like, Rick Barnes could not have drawn that up better.
Yeah.
And just presented, here's how I want the game to go.
Yeah.
Just take it.
And that was the problem for Duke. Like, you try to outscore Tennessee. That's not the way to beat them, man.
Yeah.
Like, because when you give them chaos, they'll bring chaos back. It's when Tennessee's offense has to think about it, and they're running the shot clock. They get a terrible shot off.
That's right. You can't take bad shots against Tennessee.
No. And also say this. Tennessee first half unders have hit like 9 games in a row. The numbers generally, the total sits around 60 to 63. Game usually comes about first half about 45. It was 59 with Duke, and it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
And it started off hot. Like, it wasn't
it
even
sure
close.
Did.
Yeah. They just shut you down, man.
Hey.
So, shut them down.
Alabama, you think, is the favorite to win it all?
Yeah. Yeah, they are. I think they're like, if you're going to bet a future right now, I think Alabama's like plus 300 to plus 350, depending on your book. Look, you could get good value. Like, if it's plus 350, you could actually bet 3 teams the same amount of money, right? And if either of those 3 hit, automatic profit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're not going to get as much as, plus 350. It's going to cut down. But still, like, if you want to kind of hedge this thing,
right,
like, that's how you play against the books. And do that.
Real quick.
Yep.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was done. I'm yapping. Go ahead.
Okay, Cousin Danny on YouTube. Alan, my tournament bracket was trash. Host, so how should we bet our money on the tourney? His bracket was trash because of one team, Arizona.
Yeah.
Because
he picked Arizona to win it all.
The national title, and they lost the first round.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. And, like, that's what it is. But, like, betting it now, it's all about numbers, and it's all about finding your value.
Yep.
And, look, unders have hit, like, 72% of the games. Yeah, don't
so
count on a ton
of
points.
How have you done outside of Arizona as far as individual games?
Yeah, I mean,
are you doing okay?
It's hit or miss. Like, some spots you'll find really good value.
Mm-hmm.
Other spots you'll get burned like a Gonzaga, right?
It's harder in the tournament because the people setting the lines know these teams so well. They have so many data points now on these teams. Like, ultimately,
plus there's so many intangibles.
Right. But, like, so I was going to ask you, like, from a betting perspective, if you can hit, like, 56% 80%, 57%. Like, people that don't bet think, like, if you're not hitting 80%, you suck. Yeah. No. You're looking for that 56, 57. If you do that or a little bit better, you're raking.
Raking. And I'll tell you what, I'll give you the biggest values that we have on the board right now, and they're all totals, okay? So Tennessee, FAU, the total's 131.5. We have the score coming in at about 126, 127. All right, you look at Miami, Houston, total sits at 138. We've got it coming in around 133. And then you look at Princeton, Creighton, totals at 140. We've got it about 137. So again, it's 3 points. It's one possession. Be careful. But like you said, like, these people and books are extremely market efficient on these. So when you find 3-4 points of value,
that's why people that do it for a living have their own data points. Like, we always thought that, you know, you and Todd Furman's got, like, power numbers for every team. And it's funny, he came and did, like, a...
He's the best in the business, by the way.
He's amazing.
Absolutely.
Like, so he came and did a visit, like a listener visit, like, several years ago. And we went over the tin roof, and people were asking him... This was, like, I don't know, this was basketball season. People were asking him football questions about the next season.
Yeah.
And he was just, like, about specific matchups. And he could just, like, in his head, he's like, Rain Man. He already had, like, at that point at least... And they changed, but he had his power numbers for each, whatever school you wanted him to ask him about.
Yeah.
And he could immediately come up with a spread
in his head. He's unbelievable. Like, I no hyperbole. He is the absolute best in the business.
Right. Yeah. So those guys come up with their spread. And then when it doesn't match up with what the spread actually is, that's where they go all in.
Yep. That's 100%.
And they do it by researching and with sources and injuries and all of those things.
Yep.
Man, fun stuff, bro.
Yeah, that was fun. I miss you guys.
Been a minute,
miss you.
Yeah. Love hanging out with you. It's going to be a fun fun weekend for sure. We'll do it again next week.
Look forward to it.
At Alan Bell 247. He will interact with you no matter what time of day it is.
Very active.
Yeah.
And a good Twitter follow.
I'll get to pee at like 3 in the morning. Check Twitter.
We're talking team totals. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, Nick Saban, did he take a shot at his basketball coach? We'll do that next. 3HL 104.5 this morning.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.